everybody, Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Tom Fairbanks. Tom, engineering and producing our show. And Tom, do you have a secret to stay cool this weekend? Can you share with us anything other than
sit on a block of ice?
Stick your head in front of an air conditioning unit, right, for the next...
Pray that the air conditioner doesn't break.
Doesn't break, right. It is the Buckmaster Show on this Friday, June the 17th. We come to you live weekdays, Monday through Friday, of course, AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's Voice. We stream and podcast the show for anywhere in the world listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. And KVOI.com has the live stream. Our media partners, a big shout out, as we like to do every Friday, TucsonSentinel.com, that's Dylan Smith's organization, Inside Tucson Business, the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, TucsonLifestyle.com, and Southern Arizona News Examiner, all supporters of the Buckmaster Show. That doesn't mean that other media partners... they're not official partners, but they are supporters of the show, namely Tim Stellar of the Arizona Daily Star. Tim, columnist, of course, for the Star, and Tim is with me in studio to question and talk with another Tim, Tucson Water Director Tim Tamuer. Before taking over the top leadership role at Tucson Water earlier this year, Mr. Tamuer served as hydrologist with Tucson Water and was involved in planning the Clearwater Renewable Resource Facility in Navarre Valley, where Tucson receives and stores its billions of gallons of Colorado River water. Tim Stellar, we heard briefly from you. Good to see you.
Hey, good to see you too. Thank you.
And Mr. Tamuer, Tim, thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much. Very happy to be here.
It is a heat wave of historic proportion. We're going to be pushing some all-time highs. And I'm curious right off the top, there's going to be a huge demand for not only water but electricity this weekend.
That's correct. We're very much geared up for some what we call our summer peak demands. And with record temperatures, we're expecting to have our highest water demands of the year. That often coincides with the highest power demands of the year. So we're asking everybody to do your best to keep cool and keep hydrated, but continue to keep in mind being wise with your water use and wise with your energy use. It's what we need for this week.
From a historic proportion, though, looking back before Tucson became much more water conscious as we are, we're still quite a bit below some of the peaks, say, even 10 years ago.
That's correct. The conservation that's occurred in this community over the last decade plus has brought down our total water usage, but it's also brought down our peak water usage in the high heat of the summer. We're quite a bit below even what we're projecting for this weekend, where we would have been 10 plus years ago.
We used to have that little beat the peak. Duck, was he a duck?
Pete the Beak.
Oh, it's a duck.
I don't know. Was it a duck?
Little guy.
It was a duck.
Yes. A duck, yeah. But that campaign was very successful, so successful that it pretty much was folks didn't really need to hear about it every year anymore, did they?
In fact, we are not the ones really needing to push that message. We're actually hearing it more from our customers coming back toward us about making sure we're not wasting water and being very careful with how we run the system. So this community has a culture and an ethic around water that has put us in a great position.
So, Mr. Tamuer, glad to have you here. This coming up July 1st, I believe there's going to be a rate increase. Is that not right?
July 5th.
July 5th. Okay. So can you detail that for us?
Yes. We are overall, our revenue requirements for next year required about a 7% revenue increase. The way that 7% gets distributed across the different types of customers we have is part of the rate-making process that we go through with the public and with mayor and council. And for most of the folks listening in today, you're probably most interested in your water bill as a residential customer. For an average water user in this town, we're expecting the monthly bill to go up by about $2.50 per month. And that's reflective of how we've distributed the costs across the different customer classes.
Why did you need 7% more in revenue?
About 5.4% of the 7% were costs completely outside the control of the utility. Examples of that include the purchase of our Colorado River water supply, which is the largest supply we have. It's the renewable supply we have that allows us to reduce our groundwater pumpage. That those rates are increasing as they're passed on to the utilities. That was a significant part of it. Another major portion of it is the infrastructure rehabilitation costs that we have. We have a large system, over $1 billion worth of assets in the ground. And like us, as that ages, it needs care and attention. And so we're making sure that we had sufficient revenues to do the proactive maintenance we need to do. And then the additional, between the 5.4% and the 7%, mm-hmm. the additional little over 1.5% is largely dedicated toward improving our customer service. There's been a decline in our ability to answer the phones, process payments, and take care of customer needs on a very, very direct day-to-day basis over the past few years. And we've been, since August, really focused on improving customer service, and the additional revenue is going to allow us to invest in the customer service center, which we call the solution center, and the actual people who do that service, so that we can get back to being a world-class customer service organization.
In the past, I believe there have been rate increases that resulted from declines in usage. In other words, like the utility had to keep up with its maintaining an entire system, mm-hmm. but with fewer people using less water, they weren't paying as much into the system. Is that also part of this?
That's absolutely a contributing factor. When we decline our water sales, we decline our revenues associated with that. But we don't decline the fixed costs that it takes to operate the built system that we have. So we are certainly cognizant of that, and that does contribute to our overall revenue requirement. We're actually in the midst of a study right now that is, by the fall, will give us a perspective on conservation and cost. This study is to look at what is the avoided cost that we've been able to reduce because of conservation. So even though unit costs for water are going up because we're selling less water, there are some projects, whether they're capital projects or whether they're other types of operation and maintenance projects, that we've not had to do that we would have otherwise if we were still selling water at the rates we were in the past. A recent study was done in the community of Westminster, Colorado, who had a similar conservation result, and it showed that, and I might be misquoting this, but it was somewhere in the order of water rates would have been on the order of 60% higher if there hadn't had the conservation. So we're doing that similar study for Tucson because we know every community is different, every circumstance is different. So by the fall, we want to be able to share that information of what, even though rates are going up and we have conservation, what would the rates have been if we hadn't had that conservation?
For a long time, Tucson was entirely relying on groundwater. In fact, we were the largest city in the United States, I believe, that depended entirely on groundwater. All of that changed, I don't know, I'm going to guess here, about 15 years ago, something like that, when we started this blending with the CAP and groundwater. Correct. How much do we use now, what percentage-wise do we use of groundwater?
For 2015, and you're correct, it's about a 15-year program mm-hmm. to get to where we were in 2015. In 2015, we actually did not mine any groundwater for the first time in
wow.
our community's history. We still rely on our groundwater aquifers because that's where we treat, store, and then produce our water, whether it's local groundwater or it's the imported Colorado River water in the blend, as you mentioned. So the blend is actually through our aquifer system. But for 2015, that was the first year that we were 100% what we call 100% renewable. It does include the bulk of it being the Colorado River water through the blend. Um, we We do have our reclaimed water system, which actually has been around since the mid-80s, and it takes care of about 10% of our community's demand, so that's another renewable resource. And then we do have a remediated groundwater supply through our Tucson Airport remediation project that does pump water that's been impaired, treats it, and uses it in the community. So it took us a long time to get there. We've been successfully delivering the blend since 2001, but 2015 we finally reached that milestone where we were 100% renewable.
And when you say that, you mean that we are replacing what we're taking out of the ground? Is that what you're saying?
That's correct. Yeah. Either replacing it in the same location where we recharge it and recover it in the same location, or replace it nearby in the same general vicinity.
How does that work? The only recharge I know of is over in the Avra Valley. Are we recharging everywhere else, other places as well?
We do have a recharge facility down at the Pima Mine Road. It's near Pima Mine Road in Sal Rita area. We recharge a fair amount of water down there. That happens to be upstream in the aquifer or up gradient from one of our well fields, the Santa Cruz well field. We also work with local farming communities where we do what was called a groundwater savings facility, where we incentivize the farming operations to use some of Tucson's Colorado River water to grow their crops. In exchange, we get a groundwater credit to pump. That is a replenishment as well. So that's where our recharge is occurring, is all the way up to Marana, down to Sal Rita, and all points in between.
Coming up on 12:16, we're going to talk some more about water. If you would like to join in the conversation, 790-2040. Love to hear from you. We're going to take our break right here, and our Friday rock and roll bump music will be heat-related. So let's get right at it, Tom. Are you feeling hot, hot, hot? The Regional Transportation Authority is funding new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and transit service enhancements to get you where you want to go. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com. Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Dive into the culture section with the latest on the arts. Book reviews from Rebecca Guthrie. What movies are hot or not from Bob Garver. Eric Peters brings his unique point of view with his auto reviews. Check out where you could vacation regardless of the season. It is culture news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms
to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
We had to include that in our bumper music with anything pertaining to hot from our Rock and Roll Friday bump music, Summer in the City by the Lovin' Spoonful.
Local Tucson business.
Welcome back to the... welcome back. They are not a local Tucson business, the Lovin' Spoonful. Anyway...
Actually, there is a restaurant, isn't there? Or did that close?
Lovin' Spoonful? No, I think it is still a vegetarian restaurant.
Yeah.
That's Tim Steller. Tim is here from the Arizona Daily Star. He's a columnist at the Star. Our topic today for our Friday Focus interview is water. Tucson Water Director Tim Tamur is with us. And Tim, you've been on the job officially as the water director for, is it about 4 months?
Yep, just past 4 months.
Yep. You know, we were talking about that we reached that point where we don't need, where we're kind of replenishing our groundwater in 2015. Is it true that if we had not done that, that the deeper you go, of course, you're going to eventually mine out that precious resource, but the deeper you go, the water quality itself diminishes?
That's correct. In our aquifers, we have a couple of issues when your water levels are declining. One is the water quality issue, that you get into higher and higher mineral content water. You start to run into other trace chemicals that are naturally occurring, but they become more concentrated the deeper you're in the aquifer. Energy costs certainly go up. The deeper you're having to chase the water in your wells, the more expensive it is. And then the other community-wide issue that was a main focus in the 80s when we were really looking at groundwater management in Arizona was land subsidence. Because when you would draw that groundwater from underneath the land surface, you're opening up more pore space, and just the weight of the ground itself can begin to compact the aquifer, and you can have declining land surface. Luckily in Tucson, we were having it only on the order of inches, as opposed to some parts of the country in California or even in Pinal County, you saw it on the order of feet of land surface subsidence.
We've heard about Lake Mead hitting historic lows. It feels like a contradiction that we are in relative balance in our water consumption while the lake just keeps going down, down, down. So can you explain that?
Sure. So our Colorado River water does rely on the ultimate source of it is from Lake Mead for us in Arizona. And for years, our main objective was to use all of the Colorado River water we could. Get it into our community, store it for the future, use it directly. As Tucson and others have been doing that, and as we're in a 15-year-plus drought, water levels in Lake Mead have been declining. We've known this for years, and we've known that that's going to catch up to us someday. So right now we're looking at how do we, as a community, how do we as a state and a region shift our focus from getting water out of the lake to preserving water levels in the lake? And that's where we really have to think about what's the right water management strategy year to year. So while locally we're very resilient, we have water stored for future years, we have to be participants in regional solutions for Lake Mead itself.
Can I ask you a completely different thing? It's related to City of Tucson's relationship with Tucson Water. As I understand it, the City of Tucson charges some amount in the millions, I believe, to be a sort of administrator of Tucson Water. How does that work?
So, yes, the Tucson Water is a department of the city of Tucson, and the administrative fees that you're referring to are actually Tucson Water paying for the services that the city provides back to the utility. And these are services that one way or the other the utility would need, whether it would be from the city or whether it would be staffed internally to the utility or from the private sector. So examples of that would be the human resources services, IT services, legal services. And there is a portion of it that is administrative. We do have the clerk's office, the city manager's office, you know, that manage our interactions with mayor and council. So there's a quite a bit of service that the city does provide to the utility. That is, those functions are audited independently to make sure that that's those are appropriate charges paid by the utility to the city and that the value we're paying for is received.
Do you know what the amount is this year?
I believe it's on the order of $11 million.
Mm-hmm. And so customer, there's some proportion of customers outside of the city of Tucson, of Tucson Water, right? What proportion
Correct.
Is that?
It's somewhere around 30 to 35% of the customers of Tucson Water are outside the city of Tucson. They might be in a different jurisdiction, like the town of Marana, but they're not city of Tucson residents.
So they would have an interest in ensuring that we're not overpaying, we, the customers of Tucson Water, are not overpaying the city of Tucson to help them balance the budget, for example.
That's absolutely correct.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say about lead in the water, the pipes, is that an issue?
It's not a significant issue in Tucson. Unlike Flint, Michigan, or other communities, Tucson has very little, if any, lead service lines in our system today.
The Flint system was just loaded with it.
It had many tens of thousands of lead service lines. And Tucson Water, quite honestly, had lead service lines dating back to the 1920s and 1930s. In fact, when you look at that time frame, lead was the pipe of choice at that time.
Wow.
But the vast majority of that has been removed from the system, and we do have an active program that if we ever encounter it in the field where we identify a lead service line, we're very careful about how we handle it, and we just go out and replace it. We don't want that in the system anymore. Prudent for us to just make sure that even if it's in good condition and
just
we think it could,
it.
Let's just get rid of it.
Where is it mainly? In the old city?
Mostly older city. You'd see you'd find it in the downtown area.
I recall asking this and hearing the Pennington as a street that
had
several
it.
Of the pipes connected to.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. The general downtown area. And in fact, when we do run into it, sometimes it's still in active service. It does, you know, you might get one or two every quarter that you run into. But often as not, when we run into them, they're no longer in service. They might not have been removed, but they've been disconnected and replaced with a different service line. So sometimes we run into them, and even in that case, we still remove it, just remove all uncertainty.
So if there are possible CAP cuts, that would not impact us?
Not immediately and not directly, for two main reasons. One is, our allocation of CAP water is about 50% greater than our current total water demand, thanks in large part to conservation. If we were using water at the rate we were 10 to 15 years ago, we'd be pretty close to using our full allocation. We do purchase it all, and we store the excess that we don't need for the future, but we have quite a bit that could be curtailed before it would impact us. And the fact that we do recharge and recovery versus a surface water treatment plant like the Valley Cities do means that we're not relying on water on a daily basis in the CAP canal. It can be dry for periods of time, and we're still able to meet our demands. That's why we're, you know, really working with our other local utilities to wheel water to them and working with the Valley Cities to make sure that if there's a way we can work together to assure our long-term sustainability, we're going to do that.
Are our overall water bills comparable to other cities this size?
They're a bit lower. They're certainly, you know, comparable, but we're toward the low end of affordability range. And what I mean by that is the American Water Works Association, which is an industry group that a lot of water providers work together with, does a lot of studies and surveys. And they've determined what they consider to be a water affordability index, which is looking at the mean income of a community and what your water rates are relative to that. And they have a range of what they call a range of affordability based on typical water rates. Tucson plots below the low end of that range. Whether you look at it as a metro area, because we just talked about how many of our customers live outside the city, or you even look at it just from the city, we're well below what we consider to be even the low end of the affordability range.
Sorry, go ahead. I was just going to say, isn't the most the strongest way of forcing conservation simply to raise the rates?
It's one.
The most direct way, I should say.
It's a direct way. It's a direct hit to the pocketbook. Yeah. But it's how you do that. You know, if you're doing it across the board, it's not as or at least we haven't observed that that's as impactful as really having the tiered rates that we suggest or that we have, where you're really targeting the really high water users. You really want those folks to really curtail. Everybody needs to be wise with their water use, but so much of our community has already done that, has already reached relatively low water usage rates. You're really going after the higher users.
All right, Tim Tamure, the director of Tucson Water, thank you for spending a half an hour with us on what is going to be a very hot weekend. And Tim, thanks a lot, and good luck to you.
Thank you very much.
All right, let's break right here. Tim Steller sticks around, and Dan Scheer is in the house from the Green Valley News. We'll have our Friday roundtable right after we hear some more music related to the heat.
The heat is on.
Local Tucson business, American Openings, is pleased to be a sponsor of Gospel Rescue Mission. They're on a mission to restore lives that are afflicted by homelessness, hopelessness, and addiction. Each day, the Gospel Rescue Mission in Tucson houses, feeds, and ministers to hundreds of men, women, and children. Gospel Rescue Mission, where homelessness ends and lives are restored. You can learn more at grmtucson.com. American Openings is proud to support Gospel Rescue Mission.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Every year, eager travelers journey to Europe to experience the Yuletide season at its very best. With the glittering backdrop of winter white hilltops and extravagantly decorated cities, get swept up in the enchantment that's in the air. Let's not forget the most magical part of all, Europe's famous Christmas markets, renowned for their festive atmosphere, great food and drink, and handcrafted gifts. Experience the magic of the holidays aboard an Ama Waterways river cruise. Call Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Christmas market cruise and save up to 40%. Bon Voyage Travel, 797-1110.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Monday for the Monday Political Face-Off featuring commentators Bruce Ash and Paul Eckerstrom. Also, Adopt a Bee. That's going on at Tohono O'Chul Park. Buckmaster Live, noon to 1 on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. The heat is on, definitely. Dan Shearer had to make the very hot drive. Hopefully his air conditioning was working up from Green Valley. And Dan is, of course, the editor of the Green Valley News and saw Rita Sun. Tim Steller is here. Tim sticks around from our interview talking about water. Tim Steller of the Arizona Daily Star. Pertaining to water, Green Valley has several water companies.
Yeah, we have five or six water companies down there. Some serve as few as 1,200 people. You know, I think that's Farmers Water. And then, you know, Rancho Sarita has its own water company. And there's Community Water. There are lots of them down there. And so we always have to figure out who's, you know, who's serving who. And, you know, we had a golf course go out of business a couple of years ago, and they raised the rate on all of the people, all of the customers, because the golf course is such a big customer that losing that business meant that they would have to do put a surcharge on, and then recently they had to make that permanent because it doesn't look like the golf course is going to reopen. They keep claiming they're going to, but they've delayed it for another year. So anyway, yeah, people take the heat. You know, whether you're using a lot of water or whether you're even saving, you're going to get hit one way or the other with some sort of an increase.
We had Senator McCain, Tim and Dan, on the show on Wednesday, and of course talking about the Orlando situation. And he kept pointing back at that all of this goes back to the White House and to President Obama. Senator McCain is, and he's admitted this, Tim, he's in for the fight of his life, not only on the primary level, which some polls show that Kelly Ward, the former state senator from Lake Havasu City, is doing pretty well in the polling, but then latest polls now, if McCain survives the primary, showing that he's actually down a bit to Ann Kirkpatrick, which would be his opponent in the fall.
Yeah, he's in a really tough spot because, of course, a lot of the Republican primary voters, that is the most dedicated Republican voters, don't like him. They really can't stand him. And so you see this pattern every 5 to 6 years where he seems to jog to the right a bit. Last time was the border issues back when he was doing the Build the Dang Fence ad with Paul Babiou.
Yeah, 6 years ago, he was running against J.D. Hayworth.
Right, and he slaughtered Hayworth in the primary.
He did.
It was no contest, but I think there's just my general impression is that across the board, except among kind of traditional swath of Republicans, there's just a fatigue of him being in office.
It's one of those years anything can happen when you've got Trump in there.
Right, and I think that's the biggest question here is how will Trump affect, you know, the down-ballot races, which we've been talking about for months, actually. But I talked to Senator McCain a couple of months ago, and I tell you what, knows the issues, sharp as anything. Yes, I know he turns 80 this summer, and that has some people concerned. I don't think it's a concern. When it comes right down to it, though, you cannot find two more opposite people than he and Ann Kirkpatrick. She's very liberal. He's very conservative, although I agree with Tim. seems like he does this jog to the right, which I think is frustrating for people because they can't quite figure out where he stands on some key issues. But when it comes down to it, it's going to be the issues. And I don't think that even a moderate conservative is going to be able to vote for Ann Kirkpatrick once they kind of figure out where she stands on some of the issues. And, of course, the Democrats are completely in her corner.
I've never heard her described as very liberal before. That doesn't strike me as right. What are you thinking of when you say that?
I talked to her, I'm going to guess maybe 3 or 4 months ago, wrote a column on some of where she stands. First of all, I will be honest with you, I was a little surprised at her lack of knowledge on Southern Arizona issues, and she herself granted that. I mean, her district does sweep down, you know, south of Phoenix and everything, but even she granted that she's not, you know, down in our area, but real often. But some of the stuff on immigration, certainly gay issues, just a lot of that. But I just kept thinking as she ticked these off that there will be a very clear choice for people between her and John McCain. I don't think that one's going to really win over the other's followers. So, of course, this one's going to be decided in Maricopa County, too.
And as I reflect back 6 years ago, there was a lot of polling at that time. If you look at the same time in June, the polling had showed that J.D. Hayworth would be running very strong against Senator McCain. And I hosted the only TV debate between the two of them on Channel 6, and McCain won the debate, and he won that election very easily. So whether or not Kelly Ward is going to mount the kind of challenge that her supporters are hoping she will remains to be seen.
Yeah, and I don't think that that's going to be the issue for him at all. I think she has grown a little stronger and this year, but I don't think that's the issue. Obviously, it's going to be Ann Kirkpatrick,
and
honestly, I think when it comes right down to it, I mean, the polls right now don't really mean a whole lot.
No,
I don't think it's going to be a cakewalk for him, but it would certainly look like he's going to pull it off.
Richard Carmona, as I recall, was ahead in some of the polls,
yes,
post primary, even
Dr. Carmona. Right? Yeah,
yes, and I wouldn't put him
pretty well in some of those the pre-election polling. Yeah.
Exactly, and I would have put him as a stronger candidate than Ann Kirkpatrick.
790-2040, if you would like to join in the conversation. Tim, your column about Allie Miller, Supervisor Miller, has, there was quite a bit of reaction on Facebook. Allie's supporters, like the Donald Trump supporters, are very passionate, and they took you to task in your column today. Just quick reaction.
To the
your column
criticism.
And criticism.
Okay. Well, no, criticism's fine. I mean, yeah. I think the problem with some of her more avid fans is that they just refuse to see the blemishes. They refuse, the more a person points out a problem with her performance, the more they deny it. I have praised her for some of her actions. I think some of what she offers the board is very positive. However, I think the overall package doesn't add up. And I think this latest incident just underscores that she didn't have the judgment to kind of step back and see what this whether this young staffer's story about starting a news website really made sense. If she had kind of paused and not jump to a conclusion there, it would have benefited her a lot more. But, she's supported in jumping to these conclusions by her unquestioning fans.
And her avid support. And they're saying basically this is what you have been writing about Allie and what Jim Ninsel at The Weekly has been writing about her and Dylan Smith is not going to matter, that it's irrelevant. One of the Facebook friends of Allie put, anything you all have written is irrelevant. It's not going to make any difference in the polls.
Well, and I got that initial email too, Bill, and it took me about 30 seconds to figure out that this whole thing was a sham, and I was the slow one. So I get that. However, let's not mistake her her lack of rushing to judgment for the fact that she also tends to be a very loyal person mm-hmm. to specific types of people. And the biggest thing is that it's a 19-year-old. And so you treat them differently than you would treat and maybe an experienced or seasoned employee. And I think she was hoping against hope that this would turn out. And then her ignorance with how easy it is to track certain things online and and just the obvious. Yeah, it was obvious. It was common sense. But I think that initially, truly, she just wanted to be loyal to this person until it was absolutely proven that he was not doing what he was saying. To me, the biggest question, though, is her sitting on the public records, and that really bothers me because she's not keeping those from journalists. She's keeping them from everybody. Public records are for everybody, and she has delayed release of these. She has tried to charge for them. And you know what? Nothing gets people upset more than that. And this isn't a journalist against Allie thing. This is Allie against the public. And so this to me is like the major screw up there.
And with a certain amount of people, the journalists don't resonate very well these days.
Look at the
Donald Trump people, and it is easy just to say, "Well, they're out. The journalists are out to get me." So some people are going to really buy into that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough thing that we have yet to solve. That is that there's been a kind of demonization of journalists mm-hmm. and journalism, and some of it's warranted, and some of it's just way over the top. People in the same breath, you hear them criticizing the media and, you know, citing stories that they read in the media in trying to criticize the media, which is a phrase I think means almost nothing these days. So, I mean, I take criticism. I think our industry deserves criticism. But there's a bit of demonization that's just beyond the pale, I think.
Yeah, but I don't think the Arizona Daily Star is innocent in all this. And I'm talking about the news pages. The opinion pages, you can say whatever you want. Doesn't mm-hmm. bother me. But in the news pages, and this is not an accusation that's leveled lightly, but in the news pages, you can probably make a pretty good argument that Allie Miller has been beaten up more than the others. She's out there more, and she's certainly, you know, on the edge and deserved a lot of this. But I think that her critics say, you know, we just can't win, and therefore they have just pretty much written off the paper. And I'm talking about the news section, which I know that I get your column appears there, but your opinion, you're different. But I think in the news, the news section, I think they could make a good argument that the journalists are not for her.
Well, fine. I mean, that's the Arizona Daily Star. I mean, we're one of many outlets locally, and I mean, I wish I could evaluate yours. I don't follow it closely enough. But yeah, sure, you can say that. But I don't know if it's. I'd like to see a story by story scientific evaluation. I mean, for example, my colleague Murphy, who's now covering the county, wrote a story about Allie's road plan. And it of course included criticism from people who opposed it, and to some that was like an unfair story because it included criticism. You don't get a free ride ever, you know.
Right.
And so right. I think that's a good example of people misunderstanding. If she puts out a road plan, we're just supposed to say she did a great road plan and this is what's in it. No, you have to evaluate. You know, you have to look at different sides, and that's part of the deal.
Well, I'm going to give readers a little bit more credit, because really what it comes down to is if someone calls you and says, yeah, that was fair and that was accurate, okay, that means that they feel like you didn't skew it their way like maybe you wished they would, but that at least you got it right and that they had a voice in the story. And so if you ask certain people about the Star on certain subjects, I think that they would probably have a pretty good argument that that's been abandoned. And again, I can't think of another newspaper in the United States that I would say that about.
Oh my God, Dan, give me a break, man. You're taking our inventory crazy, man.
He's taking it to you.
Yeah, it's too bad I can't offer anything in return because I don't read it. So, well.
Well, that's what this is all about, opinion. So you guys are certainly, I'll fight to the right for you guys to say your opinion. So
yeah,
that's
sure.
what it's about. Hey, narrative certainly is looking a little better for Tucson. For the first time, the percentage of job growth has outpaced Phoenix. And that's good news.
Oh, there's tons of good news. And
there's a lot of good news going on.
I wrote a couple weeks ago about just the general trend. There's several different things. A lot of it runs through Rio Nuevo, which has earned criticism in the past, but is in good hands now and doing what Fletcher McCusker calls its original mission, that's economic development. And they're succeeding, you know. A lot credit goes to a lot of different people, including Pima County, including the city of Tucson, and including the governor, you know. All of them deserve credit. And let's not forget, the economy's growing. You know, that always helps. So
Tucson was also named the most affordable city in the United States by a group calling themselves Go Banking Rates, which looks into they looked at the 50 largest cities, the cost of living, and Tucson's doing very well, Dan.
Yeah, you know, that is one reason that a lot of people end up in our area in Green Valley. Not only is it beautiful down there, but it's also very affordable, and people coming, you know, from the retirement end of things are looking for that. And Tucson's always had that reputation also. And in our community, you can find good housing for $40,000, $45,000, you know, for a home. You can spend $1.5 million. And so there's that whole range of there. So there's diversity of housing, but a lot of it is in that sweet spot of the affordable range, you know, 100, 120, and retirees love that.
The housing situation, we've been one of the slowest to recover from housing, and it's looking better too. So I think overall the narrative, some want to still paint Tucson, everything here is horrible, but I think things are starting to look up.
Yeah, I mean, let's not, I totally agree the trend is correct. I'm spending a lot of time right now for a column I'm writing in some of the county islands that have a lot of trailer parks in mm-hmm. Tucson, and my God, you wouldn't feel that way if you were in some of these areas where I'm hanging out lately. But yes, the trends are good.
There's one in particular, I think, right off Columbus. I don't know if you...
Yeah, there's a bunch of them.
There,
you wouldn't believe. There's really paid attention and drove these areas or walked them. Wow, there's a lot of poverty.
All right, gentlemen. Dan Scheer, you don't want to tell us about what you're working on, but we'll look for it on Sunday, right?
Hey, on Sunday, we're also doing stories about people who work in really cold places and people who work in really hot places. And we just happened to pick the probably the hottest day of the year to do that. And I'll tell you what, some people really got a good deal in the summer when they're working in some of these really cool places. So yeah. Catch the paper and...
Tim, you're going to be working a very hot place as you prepare for your column Sunday.
Yeah, actually, one of the pieces of this column is about cooling. That is, people's the cooling in their homes and whether they have adequate cooling. And then if they don't, you know, is it their fault? Whose fault is it? And where can they turn?
Well, I hope I'll have adequate cooling in my home when I go home in a few minutes. Thank you very much. Hope you have a great weekend, both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. All right, Matt is coming up with Matt Russell with our Weekend Watch right after this.
Pretty wall, and I'm a big fish, and I'm just, they shimmy, and I'm shimmy, they fly, and I'm fly. Well, they're out there having fun.
This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across Pima County. More than 730 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. Thanks to our partners in the public for collaboration, participation, and support of the RTA plan. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to our communities, the RTA truly is making a difference. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. Almost 60 flights take off every day from Tucson International Airport and announcing the newest destination, New York.
American Airlines, now boarding nonstop to JFK.
Daily nonstop service to New York starts October 7th with connections across the Atlantic and throughout the Northeast. Now with 18 nonstop destinations from Tucson, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel TUS and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona is setting the standard for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. Being accredited with BBB means that your business holds the same high standards and consumers can count on you to keep your word. Hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans use our website every month. Make sure they find your business. Call us today to discuss the many benefits of BBB accreditation at 888-6161 or go to our website at bbb.org/Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
All right, time for Weekend Watch on a very, very hot weekend. Weekend Watch, hosted by Inside Tucson Business food and beverage columnist Matt Russell, who has been out by the pool already. Well, he's trying to get a jump start on the happy hour. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing great. I already started my hydrating at about 7 o'clock this morning, Bill. It is going to be a hot one, I tell you.
Weekend Watch brought to us by our friends over in Grant County and Silver City, New Mexico, which is looking really good right about now. That mile-high elevation, cool, cooler certainly than Tucson, 3 hours drive east of Tucson. Find out about the many great places to stay, like Agave Ridge Retreat and Cottage of Whispering Canyon, and the many things to do, like exploring historic Silver City. Visit their website, southwestnewmexico.org. Matt, speaking of happy hours, what's on tap?
Well, what better way to get Father's Day weekend started, Bill, than with happy hour at Brother John's Beer, Bourbon, and Barbecue. On Stone and Grant. On the beer side, how about Brother John's Brown Sugar Ale for only $3 a pint? Cocktail specials include Jack Daniel's drinks for only $4.50. And for barbecue, check it out, Bill. Smoked short rib fritters are only $1 each. Now, this is happy hour designed for dads and everything that we love. It starts today at 3 o'clock at Brother John's.
Pouring a few cool ones, I'm sure. By 3 o'clock, it's going to be a scorcher. What else is going on? Any Mexican food that we should note?
Yeah, you bet. The Tucson 23 Mexican Food Festival is tomorrow at 6 p.m. at the JW Marriott. Now, we all know Tucson is home to the most authentic Mexican food north of the border, and the highest concentration of these restaurants is found within a 23-mile area, and about 40 of these restaurants are going to be serving up their best with beer and tequila tastings, food demos, live mariachis. Tickets are $45, and it all gets going tomorrow at 6 at the JW Marriott.
Tequila, always good. And hot, cool, you name it, I'm ready for a shot of tequila. I think I'll need one right after today's show. Father's Day dinner. A lot of folks want to honor Dad this weekend, take him out for a nice meal. Any suggestions?
Yeah, lots to choose from, Bill, for Father's Day. But I think old school Tucson dining has never been more relevant than it is today at Jonathan's Cork on Tancoverde Road. Now, of course, the Cork has been a Tucson tradition for decades, and it's no mystery why they've continued to stay kind of top of mind. So for Dad's Day, treat the old Creole man to some pistachio-crusted lamb chops with a Creole mustard cream sauce, or maybe the filet of bison. Yes, that's Buffalo Bill, wrapped with jalapeno bacon. Dinner starts at 5 p.m. on Sunday, but you better grab a reservation just in case for Father's Day at Jonathan's Court.
Should I ask for that bison on the rare side, or...
Only way to have it, Buffalo Bill.
All right. Matt Russells, try to stay cool. It's always a pleasure having you. Thank you, sir.
Cheers, Bill. Thanks.
All right. We do plenty of local talk here. And during the week, of course, we have, we do 3 hours in the morning, an hour here at the noon hour, and wake up. We got the Wake Up Show, 2 hours. Then you got the Daily Double, Christy Simone's 3, the Buckmaster Show, 4, and then... for Tucson at 4. So you got 5 hours of local talk during the week, but it's the weekend. It's almost like wall-to-wall local talk, including Charles Heller's very popular program, 11 o'clock Sunday morning. He hosts the Liberty Watch show, and his host will be the legal thriller author Christopher Liebig will be Charles's guest at Sunday morning at 11. The Buckmaster Show, a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, wholly responsible for its content. Our thanks to Christophon, who provides original music for The Buckmaster Show. Also thanks to Rosemary Brandt, my assistant, making sure all of our podcasts are there. Doug and Mary Martin, Ed Alexander, Jerry Cross, Mr. Tom Fairbanks, the whole team here at KVOI. Have a great weekend.